Check, 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 check. Hello, everyone.
Hello,
welcome
hello.
To Outpost Chicago.
How's gather around, gather
Chicago
around.
So far?
Hello everyone, there.
Everyone enjoying their time here?
Yeah.
Yeah? Good, good. Well, welcome to the Let's Talk About Halo panel. We are a bunch of Halo podcasters. We love talking about anything and everything Halo related. So we're going to talk about what we talk about. To start, I am Dustin Pettigrew. I go by DustStorm Online. I am the owner and host of Podtacular, which is a weekly podcast that talks anything and everything about Halo.
I am Colin Perkins, Brokebox on Xbox Live. So I am part of the Podcast Evolved, I guess, series of podcasts. Mm-hmm. My podcast is Mission Debrief. And so we go mission by mission. So we started actually in order. So we start with Reach. And we would play a mission, and then we'd do a podcast about that. And then we would play like the next mission all the way through. So now we're in Halo 4, which has been really fun to kind of see the whole trajectory of like all the changes. And then we talk about all the lore and the gameplay and stuff. It's great.
I'm Josh, a.k.a. JK Fire, one half of HCS Pro Talk, your weekly Halo esports podcast.
And I am Will. Also, I am Mr. Mayhem Online. And yeah, we cover everything from the competitive side of Halo.
All right, so quick show by hands or by applause. Who here listens to any kind of Halo podcast? Other than us.
Okay.
All right, okay, so not a lot of people. Who knows what podcast is? All right, so mostly everybody. Okay, so all right, so if you know, then this is a little redundant, but we'll go over it anyways. So a podcast is any kind of video or audio production, which is very similar to that of a radio show. Or an online TV show type of thing. So we use a similar process with regards to radio show, with production, equipment, and all that kind of stuff. Typically follows a somewhat regular programming schedule. So for a lot of the podcasts, it's weekly. There's some that are bi-weekly, some that are semi-weekly, some that are every month, depending on the kind of content rollout and all that kind of stuff. And then we cover a variety of topics. So just between us up here, my podcast is a little more generic. Podcast Evolved and that library podcast is a lot more lore centric, and then the HCS Pro Talk folks a lot more on the esports stuff. So there's a lot of different kind of themes and other topics that just amongst podcasting that we do. So we have a couple different ways that podcasts are made. I think everyone here has a different kind of way that we produce our own shows, and I'll start down there. How do you guys make your podcasts? What's the start to end product?
So we start the process. Josh is obviously online looking for information all week long on anything competitive. We cover a lot of community events. There's amateur leagues out there, Halo Draft League, Europa Halo, and a few others as well. And Josh covers all that information, gets it all in a doc. We get together in the same room, have our setup, and we just hit record and go. It's we like to have that dynamic where it's on the fly and it sounds like a radio show and we're just going back and forth. After the recording's done, we go through and I do all the editing, the sound editing, sound design with it, and then publish to all your favorite social media areas and podcast places. So
in addition to that, like, what's the technical setup that you guys have?
So we use Audacity as a recording software. It's free online. Anyone can get it. We have two podcasting mics. They're dynamic mics that run into a four-channel mixer that just goes right into the PC, and we record from there. A couple pop filters and whatnot, too.
I use an iPad for show notes.
There you go. We got enough pause up in the front. And you guys record offline, and like I said, in the same room, so you guys are a lot more akin to a radio show, actually, with the more traditional setup.
Yes, so right now it's all audio, and then our goal towards the end of the year is to have a live streamed video show to go along with the audio show.
And you guys have little soundboard clips that you put in there as well.
Yes, we do.
And we actually, announcement, we actually just got Unishek's voice via recording, via phone yesterday, and we're going to include that because...
I think I told you guys three times how to say his name, and you still...
Yeah, we'll get it right. There. We wanted to get it.
Had to get it from the source, right?
Yes!
There you go. All right.
Cool. So mine's a little unique because I got the idea from Bonfireside Chats, if anybody's heard of that, or a Dark Souls fan, but they just kind of go through like all the lore of the game. And that was good for me as I was getting used to playing Dark Souls. It's a great franchise if you haven't played it. But I wanted my podcast to be a little more timeless. So you can, anybody that's playing, that either wants to reminisce about the games or is playing the games now, it's built in a way where we just talk about each mission. We try not to spoil like all the stuff that's going on right now with Cortana and all that sort of stuff. We don't talk about that until we actually get to that story. So once we finally get to Halo 5, then we're actually going to talk about that, and because we've seen how her character has progressed throughout the entire series. So we want a new person essentially that hasn't been able to play any or hasn't played any of the Halo games to play it with us. You know, they play a mission. Oh, I'm going to go listen to that podcast now. So I'm kind of straight, like in my show notes, I have like, don't spoil anything, right? Like every once in a while, somebody will drop something and be like, ooh, you know.
So you're trying to keep true to the release timeline, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. So we try to release weekly. I'll play the mission, take notes. So the missions take very long for me because I have to pause it and like write down what happened. Or on Halopedia, actually, it has all the scripts, the transcripts of like all the voiceovers and everything, which is nice. So I can pull that out and look at it. So David Arnold is in Ireland too. So he's six, and I'm in Minnesota. So he's 6 hours ahead, and it's hard. And I have a couple kids and a wife, and so it's hard to find like a time to actually record. Krista Brown is in Florida, so we got to coordinate that, and then we record on Audacity like you guys do. We do a Skype call, and then we record locally on Audacity. And then I usually actually have a walkthrough up that has actually been helpful. So I have like a video walkthrough so that as I'm trying to like visualize like, oh, you know, you wake up out of cryo and then what do? It's hard to remember that in your show notes. So I'm like, I'm watching somebody actually play on the side and trying to talk people through it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a very cool concept, and it helps those who may be playing through. And I know for my wife specifically, she'll play through, and we're playing through Halo 2 right now, but she plays through. And she's mostly focused on just trying to get through the mission.
Yeah.
And then she usually wants to watch me play so she can pick up the story aspects of Halo. So that's a nice little kind of way to get in there. Like, if you want to play it, to play it, but then really understand what the story is behind the game. That sounds like a good avenue for that.
Yeah. So we talk about the story as it happens, but then we also say, so like, there's certain encounters in Halo, right? You know, it's like the famous one. Well, the one that we're doing now is it's in Halo 4. I think it's the Infinity mission where you're kind of holding the top of that hill. And you all have, you know, like turrets and stuff like that. So we'll kind of go around the panel, I guess, and say, so David, like, what do you do in this scenario? Like, what's your approach? And then like what he does is a little different than what I do. So I learn something new every time I'm talking with them. And then Krista does something a little bit different. So we also try to help people with strategies, I guess, and things to explore.
That's cool. For PodTackler, we kind of curate anything that's Halo newsworthy, whether it's official news or community news. So any kind of community events. Any of the HCS grassroots tournaments, any other Forge contests, other little fan or community events as well, we try to cover all the official news. So I've had the privilege to be able to go to some of the conventions like E3 and SDCC, PAX, and all that kind of stuff. So we try to incorporate a lot of the major news, but also make sure that we cover a lot of the community side aspects as well for all of our podcasts. And there's a lot of content out there, so... we try to hit like all the major news stuff, and then we try to find a couple of community pieces to focus on. So, for example, every month we'll have one show where we talk about the community projects because there's so many of them. So things like Installation 01, Sins of the Prophets mod for Sins of the Solar Empire, Project Contingency, Operation Trebuchet for the Arma 3 as an Arma 3 mod, and all that kind of stuff. We try to make sure that we get an all-encompassing view of the community, at least at some point within every month that we try to do recording.
You had the El Dorito guys on there, didn't you, at one point in time?
I believe we had them on for one of our either a lore thing or one of the other kind of game fan project type things.
Yep.
I think we've had Game Cheat on once before and maybe someone else. I can't. Don't exactly remember. There's been a lot of guests on. But that's something else that we do as well. We try to get other community guests on, whether they're community influences or people that have really contributed to Halo in a positive way. So one of the things that we're trying to organize right now is getting a lot of the well-known composers, so like Jafet Mirza, for example, getting them and getting some of the other audio directors for these fan projects in to talk about what inspires them from Halo and what are some other inspirations that they draw from to create their own kind of brand of Halo music. That's something that we're currently trying to work on as well. From a technical perspective, myself and my co-host are in different locations. So he's in Missouri, I'm in Maryland. I started out with a Blue Yeti. My co-host uses a Blue Yeti right now, and right now I'm using a Rode Podcaster. He records in Audacity, I record in Audition, and I do all of the editing inside of Audition and do a little bit of leveling and that kind of stuff. And then we export to all of our podcast feeds, and we're currently in the process of putting all of our old podcasts in video format on YouTube for those who want to consume our podcast in that manner.
Very nice.
So maintaining a podcast lifespan is no difficult task, just like any other kind of community or project or effort out there. It does take time, effort, and money. Thankfully, podcasting is one of those things that there's a low barrier to entry. But in order to become more and more refined and professional, that's when it starts to rack up a little bit. But one of the things that all of us have really benefited from is finding some kind of niche within the Halo community and really expanding upon that area and being able to talk about it. I think probably the main example that we have is some former podcasts. So like Let's Talk About Halo was another kind of competitive podcast or competitive esports podcast. And then
Bad at Halo.
Bad at Halo Show was another one. But they kind of played off of each other, but they have their own little niches. And then now we got the HTS Pro Talk folks, and that kind of is now the home for that. But being able to find a topic and being able to be passionate about it and talk to it, regardless of how many people that you get listening to it every week or every month or however often you do it, is definitely one of those main things that keeps us going.
Yeah, I would say like when I first started getting into Halo and I was into podcasts already, I was looking for a Halo podcast, and I found Dustin's podcast, and you know,
same
was
here.
Like, yeah, I mean, that's one of the first ones. He's been around the longest. He's got, what, 800 episodes or something like, what do you got?
Yeah, we just recorded 695 this week.
Yeah, that's crazy.
For example, I started listening to Dust when I was in middle school, if I'm not mistaken. So
don't take that.
I mean, let's not talk about how old we are, but I mean, just throwing that out there.
So, you know, and it's important to find kind of like, as a I don't know, listener, to find there's plenty of options, right? Like we all talk about something a little bit different. And then I was interested in podcasting myself and contributing. So that's where I kind of came up with the idea. I didn't know of anybody else that had kind of this mission by mission. Maybe there is one out there, but, you know, that's one of the passions that I had. So it's been fun to kind of find a spot within the breadth of podcasts that are out there, the content creators.
Yeah. From what I hear, there's a lot of people that find Podtacular, but then find all these other podcasts. And shameless confession, but I will reference your guys' podcast because you're diving into more specifics, and sure. I'm a lot more prone to consume content if I can listen to it like on a drive or something. So if I need to talk about something in the competitive space, I'll listen to HTS Prototype.
Thank you.
Fight, folks. if I'm preparing for the book podcast, I'll listen to a Podcast Evolve or a Halo Conversationalist podcast because mm-hmm. they're diving into the specifics. So I like to be kind of like the all around. I got my tendrils everywhere and kind of a pulse on the community type of thing. And then it's like, okay, go check out Halo HTS Procock because they were talking about this week, or check them out Podcast Evolve because they had this guest on type of thing.
It's probably been interesting for you because you've been around the longest to see like all of a sudden Podcast Evolve popped up, and you probably became aware of them, and then like, okay, all right, they actually know what they're talking about. They're good content, that's and that. Same with HTS Pro Talk and all the others. Because mm-hmm. I think there's probably a lot of projects that launch, and then for whatever reason, you know, they only get 10 episodes in, and then they just kind of fall away.
Right, and that was why when Will brought the idea to us, well, to me, about doing a competitive esports podcast, what I did was I just went on Twitter, and I went on all social medias, and I'm like, what other competitive Halo podcasts are out there right now, right? And really, the ones that were out there weren't making content anymore. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, I don't want to step on anybody's toes. So since nobody else is making that, let's hit the ground running and let's go from there. Mm-hmm. And like, I love Halo. I've been watching competitive and following competitive since Halo 1, Halo 2 days. Will has been following competitive Halo since Halo 5. So having that sort of dynamic of the, oh, I used to watch a lot of the no sprint stuff, Will watched a lot of the yes sprint stuff. And it's like having that kind of dynamic back and forth, it just worked out really, really well.
Yeah, and you guys get a lot of back and forth talk on it too, because it really drives the conversation having that difference in experience.
Yeah.
Another big thing that a lot of novice podcasters have a problem with, but as you go through more and more, you get a lot better at it, but good podcast etiquette. So speaking clearly, speaking very concisely, not trying to babble too much. Tangents are an exception because tangents do help with a natural flow of things.
And I go on a lot of them.
Yeah. I said this in Philly, and I've come to like say this is a staple, but tangents are, like, I used to think tangents were a bad thing because it was one of those things where we would kind of make fun of ourselves for going on a tangent, and community would make fun of us going on a tangent, but that's just kind of how natural conversation flows.
Right. Yeah.
And you want a natural conversation to happen because that entices people to listen in more times than not. Obviously, if you're on a tangent for too long, that can be very detrimental because then people lose interest. But those little quib moments of maybe 3-5 minute tangents are actually healthy. Mm-hmm. I've come to determine that it's healthy for a podcast to have those.
The thing I love the most is when, so like we said, Will and I sit directly across from each other at a desk when we record the show, is that I'll go, we call him Josh Rants because I go on rants all the time. My voice just cracked. Sorry about that. And I'll look across the desk and I'll just look at Will's face. He'll just be looking at me like, come on, man, seriously? And it's, yeah, he gives me that look.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I know I'm doing well right now. This is good.
Yeah, I have to rein in my guests or my co-hosts sometimes because we're doing something very specific. So as soon as we like, if we were to ever talk about Destiny or something like that, like that's not part of like what my show proper is about, you know? So I try to let them talk a little bit, but then I'll like rein them back in about something. One actually really good conversation we had recently was about Sarah Palmer and her quote, I thought you'd be taller, you know, but I wanted to have like an expanded conversation about that. But so it's like this little piece of the actual gameplay, but it's like a big thing, right? So we talked about it for about 10 or 15 minutes just because it was important to get everybody's thoughts out there.
That's awesome.
Another thing, removing background noise where possible. Obviously, depending on living conditions, if you're in a city like New York where we've had some New Yorker guests on that are like, apologies for any of the police sirens in the background. And
My kids often are in the background crying or something.
But trying to remove background noise and then trying to maintain topic flow discussions are some pretty key elements. I would say probably that is the most important thing is trying to help maintain audio quality.
Yeah.
Next to being on topic and trying to make sure that you're actually giving your audience good content. That'd be number one. And then a good audio presentation would be number two in my book.
I think a certain level of, I don't know, like background noise or, I don't know, infidelity is acceptable. But you want the podcast to sound good. It doesn't have to be professional quality, but at least it needs to be consistently good so that people, like I know for me from a podcast, if I'm listening to podcasts and like the audio kind of sucks and, you know, and they cut out or things like that, then you kind of stray away from it. So you want to have at least maintain a consistent level of quality.
If it wasn't for Will over here, then you guys, well, everyone would hear my P's and my S's all the time.
Right. Yeah. You got that pop filter.
So thanks, Will. Yeah, thanks for taking care of that.
Yep. The other thing is sometimes we'll have an episode where like I didn't activate my right mic. So like I have the blue snowball, which is fine. And then like, if I fire up Audacity, it's like selected my laptop microphone.
The built-in cam.
So like I'll sound awful on that, but everybody else sounds great, you know? And then we also have cases where something goes wrong, somebody's computer crashes, like you just lose an episode. It's like, oh, we have to do this again. Oh no.
We did that once.
Yeah. We'll talk about that
Audacity
in a minute.
Audacity crashed right at the end.
Yeah. Sorry if I went too far. Yeah.
No, you're good. Again, it's like just letting the flow happen. It's all important.
It's like we're on a panel about podcasts or something.
Yeah, weird.
It's crazy.
Yeah. But yeah, no, to your point, definitely the content of the show is number one priority, making sure that you're on topic, tangents are appropriate and limited, and making sure that you're talking to your audience on what they're expecting is content-wise. And then number two is that etiquette, making sure you try to remove as much background noise as possible, selecting the microphone, all that kind of stuff.
talking about the Destiny thing that you brought up, it's another reason why we have a separate segment in the show to talk about other games that are being played.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Because that way we have the time during the normal show to talk about Halo, the majority of what the episode's going to be about. We also have just that time for that one segment where, yeah. Oh, what have we been playing throughout the week? Okay, yeah. Let's get that out.
And I'm sure people look forward to that, to be listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look forward to the soundbite.
Yep.
I'm not going to do the soundbite.
I don't know the soundbite.
You can do it if you want.
Do you guys want to know the soundbite? Yeah. All right, I'll do the soundbite. Yeah. It's time for Will's Adventures Within the Haloverse. Other games too.
I think that's the first time that's ever been on camera, right?
Yes.
Oh, no, I forgot about that. Oh, no. Oh. Yikes, bro. Yeah, that was,
yes.
There you go. That's very the sound. Thank you. We do all of our own. Hey.
There you go.
Go ahead, Dust. I'm sorry.
Well, and then the Roster Mania soundbite. That's a really good soundbite, too.
Roster Mania! There you go.
I'll put a little reverb in the recording for you.
That's all Will.
YouTube.
It's all Will.
I can do that in audition pretty easy. That'd be fun. So audio equipment is obviously a big thing. We'll talk about that in a little bit more detail. But that's kind of like that next step. So after you get the topics down and your podcast has a good flow to it, once you get the environment set up, then having the right equipment and good equipment to really have good compression and a lot more good audio fidelity, that's where you kind of take your podcast to the next level and really start to refine what the full experience is like. And then using post-production, so any kind of bumpers, sound effects, other tagging of media when you post it to podcast feeds, blog software, all that kind of stuff. So as far as the tech goes, a lot of the microphones that we use are pretty good entry-level microphones. The Blue Yeti and the Blue Snowball are probably one of those very good entry-level microphones that you can use for podcasting, for vlogging, any kind of that stuff. So those are good microphones to get into. And then I use the Rode Podcaster. It's about a $600 USB microphone that is studio-grade audio recording. And I forgot what you guys said that you use.
They are Samson Pod Mics, so designed specifically for that direct vocal input.
And that's probably like mid-grade?
Yeah, about.
Mid-grade?
About. Yeah. We're looking at upgrading soon.
So making sure you have good quality microphones makes it to where people aren't trying to guess what you hear from bad audio quality. Good microphones usually have a good hardware to help remove or limit some of that background noise as well, so you don't have to do as much in post-processing as well.
Use a push-to-talk on yours. Mine doesn't. So if I have to cough, I have to like...
Mine doesn't. So the Blue Yeti does, but since I'm using the Rode Podcaster, it doesn't have a push-to-talk.
Okay.
But what I'll do is I can just hit M in Audition, and it'll put a mark in my file. So if I have to cough or something, or if there's a point where me and my host are talking over each other because we record our tracks independently, then I can go to that mark, and then I can like go back 10 seconds and see why I marked it, and then... fix that mark. So I'll mark every time I have to cough, someone uses an expletive, mm-hmm. if people are talking over each other. So I have, at least with Audition, I don't know if Audacity has that kind of feature, but since I pay for the Creative Suite, might as well use the Creative Suite.
How much time do you spend on editing?
So my editing profile, usually for however long a podcast is, my editing time is anywhere from 1.5 to 2 times as long.
Oh.
Depending on, and that also grows depending on how many guest hosts that we have.
Right.
So the one podcast that we had about 3 or 4 months ago with 11 people on it took me 8-9 hours to edit.
Wow. So you're managing at that time 11 different audio sources coming in, and every single one of them is going to sound a little bit different than the rest. So.
And then people's audio stops recording, and then I have to pull the stream audio and isolate their audio manually in the process, which is another headache.
Sounds awful. What about you guys? How much time do you spend
Thank you.
Editing?
Thank you. But I mean that's where like PodTackler's been around for so long, and that's just my imposed expectation of quality. But everyone else has their own levels of quality. So it's really how much time and effort you want to put into making a podcast.
Well, and so David Arnold is our editor, and he does great. He does a good job, but he's in Ireland, and I don't touch it at all. But I'll listen to the episode and like were you eating during this? I hear him smacking his lips and stuff. I'm like, buddy, you got to cut that out.
That goes back to that eliminate background noise.
Yeah, exactly. Point. So, but I can't give him too hard of time.
You should watch this panel.
Can't give him too hard of time because he's the one that actually puts in the time to do it.
Yeah, our editing time, with it being live recorded right there, it's cut down a little bit. I take notes while we're recording since we're not doing a video right now, so I just write down every little thing I need to take out. But yeah, it can take anywhere from a half hour to an hour. We our shows are usually in that 1:45 to 2 hour range. So,
Well, and we do our shows live on Mixer, Twitch, YouTube, all that kind of stuff. So the audio quality, as far as having a lot of that background noise, it's still kind of there, but we save a lot of that really good audio quality for the recorded published version, and then the live stream is kind of that, well, it's a live show. We do what we can, and we'll fix it in post type of thing.
The other thing I'm going to say is, for those that are interested in starting out in podcasting, because I didn't know a lot about it when we first started out, like, when you have an introductory mic, you don't realistically need to worry about the, I'm going to put this in air quotes, but like quality of the microphone itself, because there's free softwares out there that have compressors, that have noise reduction, that have so on and so forth. Again, absolutely free. And you can get rid of that background noise. You can get rid of those plosives. You can do what you need to do on a minimal budget. So the barrier to entry, like Dust was saying earlier, is very minimal, realistically speaking. And then, yeah, obviously you can just go up from there, like building a computer. You can always upgrade components in your computer as you go on, but the barrier to entry is pretty low.
And to add to that too, you could have even like a headset microphone. Yep. And I did a podcast with the Ford Under the Dawn folks after the Infinite trailer this year. And apparently my audio over Bluetooth in a car was better than their co-host's audio who was overseas somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't know how, but just for that to say, if you can control the environment in which you're in, a cheap microphone can sound just as good as a professional microphone in a noisy environment.
The same thing exactly goes for live streaming as well, not just podcasts. Because if you're on Twitch or Mixer or whatnot, and use OBS, for example, like they have, again, free plugins that you can use that get rid of all that noise depending upon the mic that you're using. So you don't have to go out and spend like $400 or $500 on a microphone if you don't have the means to do so at the time. You can always start low, work your way up from there.
Like the Xbox headsets. if you wanted to start there, you could start as cheap as that. If you're doing live streams, obviously prepare a good presentation format. For us, we have two different video sources, and we use Skype for the video. That's the best thing that we have available for us that we've seen out there that's free. Also,
you
having
Google Hangouts.
No, because there's no easy way for me to get the video in because it has that funky switch thing that you can't really control.
Right, yeah.
But so we use Skype. I know a lot of people very like dislike Skype these days, but for us, the audio quality and the real time effects of Skype, even though Skype's very much bloated, works really well for us. Video quality is great, audio quality is great, and since Skype also has NDI support in there as well, I'm able to pull in NDI sources into OBS and have a lot more refined control over the stage presentation that we use for live streams. And I think we're probably one of the few podcasts, Halo podcasts, that actually does a live stream show. Bad at Halo Show, which is now Gaming Under Fire, does live video, but they've kind of moved away from the Halo-centric stuff so far. But I don't think there's any. Well, HDS Weekly does a video show.
Yes, they do video. Yep. So and they're on Twitch, I believe, yeah.
Yeah, I think they're the only other Halo podcast that does a live recording on stream.
I think so, too, at this time.
But it's taken you a while to get to that point, right? Like, you didn't always do that. So you kind of built up, like, your level of comfort and then expertise over time.
Right. We actually, for our 200th episode, we did a special live stream of that episode, and I don't think we started streaming again until we were into the 300s, and then we've been live streaming ever since.
Right.
Understanding the features and limitations of the hardware and software that you're using also goes a long way. Obviously, as you're starting out, there'll be kind of a learning curve. A lot of the first podcasts you do will sound probably horrible after you've done 50 or so of them, and you probably won't want to go and listen to them. But it just goes to show that as you put time and effort into it, you will look at ways to refine your own product and have a lot more mental awareness of what you're doing and have a lot more experience on the tools that you're using. So as you're just doing it, you'll get better and better over time. But I would say, like, if you have the opportunity to go back and listen to how things were, identify some of the things that you have done and see where you can improve. And that really helps keep the lifespan of the podcast going as well.
Since you do your editing, you don't then listen to the finished product, right? You just publish it.
Right.
Because you've already kind of listened to it. For me, I go back and listen to my, because I'm not the editor, I go back and listen and just kind of try to figure out, like, you know, quit saying so or the or you know, like I'm trying to like perfect how I present my prose, I guess. But then I also try to pick out little other things that we could do better along the way. So for me, it's because I'm not editing it, I go and listen to like how it actually ended up. Yeah.
That's one of the things that I mainly go and pull as well is ums, us, you knows, that kind of stuff. And I am mentally trying to be on top of me saying ums, us, likes, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It still comes out in the podcast, but
yeah,
not nearly as much as when I started.
Yeah, right.
And it's one of those things is like I've refined over time to stop myself, and I've been able to kind of think a little bit more on the fly instead of like trying to think of what I'm going to say next.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, if you're just aware of it. The other thing, I've gone back and listened to like one of my first, talking about going back and listening to the early episodes. I have this intro. It's, you know, a couple sentences long. Now I just fly through it. But if I go back to the first couple episodes, I'm like, wow, this took me a long time to deliver this, like, you know, scripted it's a couple sentences.
One of the things for me, too, is going back and since I've been doing the podcast for so long, just seeing and hearing how, for lack of better words, immature I was at podcasting at the time,
mm-hmm.
how unsure of myself I was, having that shaky voice, having that kind of unprofessional, or I guess less refined product. And now what we have today is just leaps and bounds of when I started this back in, when I picked it up in 2008.
Yeah, right. Well, and now you just like, so if a topic comes up at that time, like, you're like, maybe this is what it was, but now like you know enough that's like you're just sure about it. Like, no, this is how it is. You know, this happened in this year or whatever it was.
Yeah. I've been doing it long enough that I know enough to be dangerous,
right.
kind of
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, you learn as you go. You're always wanting to refine and get better. And you talk about the longevity of the podcast. As you refine it, you just, you know, you get that set in and you can just go.
And last point, test, test, test.
Yes.
Always test your setup every time you record. Obviously, there's some bigger stuff that you'll do beforehand. You want to test a new layout or a new configuration. And obviously, you don't have to test everything every time, but you want to make sure all the essentials are tested every time you record. There's been numerous times where I've got caught flat-footed where there's an update for XSplit and now NDI is broken.
Oh.
Or Skype had an update and it reset all the audio settings. I have to go and reset all my audio configuration again.
Yep.
Or, oh, this update broke something. I need to figure out what it broke and how to fix it.
Will had a PC issue a little while, like a while ago, and you sent me an email with every audio setting that you had set up. And I think the title of I probably still have the email, and it says, like, in case my PC decides to die in all caps. And you just sent that to me, and it's like, so, yeah, doomsday.
Yeah, I got the PC running for, like, it was frying out, and I got it running for a few minutes. I got all that together, just dumped it into a zip file and got it sent off, because you don't want to lose that stuff.
No.
Nope. You spend so much time dialing it in, and it's so important to the show.
Like for me, I have little effect presets for myself, my co-host, and then whenever we have guests on, it's a general profile that I've kind of tweaked that it's kind of a fix-all type of thing. And every time I reinstall, I export those presets so I can re-import them into Audition if I ever need to reinstall or do my kind of yearly refresh install of Windows 10 type of thing. So it's always good to have configuration backups, and always good to test your setup before you record. So now we'll get a little bit into what each of our podcasts are about. So PodTackler started back in 2005 under the host Fumo Jive, and then I picked it up in October of 2008. One of the things that we really try to cover, like I said before, is focus on all the latest news and Halo news sources from the community. And we talk a lot about announcements, having guest hosts on the show, other kind of narrative stuff. So we started doing a book club style episode probably 4 or 5 years ago. And I didn't do any last year, so now we're trying to at least get 6 of them done this year. So trying to cover that aspect of it. Any other kind of community interest going on as well. So if it's not necessarily around Halo news, but if there's some big thing that the Halo has really caught a hold of. So, for example, the Area 51 Halo memes.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about that a little bit because that was a big community interest at the time. So we try to cover that kind of stuff as well. Anything casual, competitive, creative, like Forge Art or all the render artists out there who are incredible. Anything that's related to collectings, any new announcements for partnerships. So like Toy Wiz.
Oh, yeah.
The announcement that they were the partner for the Halo Infinite lineup. We talked about that a little bit. So we try to be an all-encompassing podcast that will cover any and all topics, and then we try to get guest hosts on that are related to that topic, if appropriate, or just other guest hosts in general that we would like to talk to on any kind of related subject. Could be lore related, could be professional related, or like esports related. Could be anything and everything under the umbrella of Halo. Oh, there's some more pools down here that didn't get into the animation. So yeah, guest appearances from, we've had novelists, developers, community influencers, and other podcast community members on our show before. We record our shows live every Thursday, typically at 9 p.m. Eastern time. We've been doing Thursday, Wednesdays because of Outpost, because I fly out on Thursdays. But normally every Thursday is when we record, and hopefully the community updates and spotlights are out by then.
Right.
That's one of the things we kind of get caught on. And then all of our episodes usually release the following Saturday or Sunday, depending on how my weekend schedule looks.
So Podcast Evolved is like our sister our flagship show. And then we actually have a number of different shows underneath that. So we have Podcast Evolved that talks about primarily the lore. They have like a specific lore segment. They do talk about kind of everything that happened in Halo during the past week, similar to what you do, but they more focus on like story impacts and things like that for the actual in-universe Halo story. Then they have the book club, and they release a number of book clubs over the course of the year. So I'm not on those, but my co-hosts, David Arnold, and Oren DeMang, and Krista Brown, and Aaron Campbell, they're the ones that are kind of, that lead that up. And so it's usually some combination of them, depending on who actually read the book. But it's great because you can, you know, if you wanted to read the book and you just finished it, then you can go and hear what our hosts had to say about it and pull out some interesting things that maybe you skipped over and how it impacts the larger lore and all that sort of thing. So
it helps
I always
for our book podcast a lot.
Say again?
It helps for our book podcast
a
lot.
I'm sure. Yeah.
Even conversationalists, it's like, okay, well, before I do this, I need to listen to these episodes and then I'm good to go.
Right. Yeah. We are a little bit more, I guess, explicit on some of our podcasts. So we don't shy away from, we try not to be too vulgar, but there's some vulgarity in our stuff. So I think we are marked as explicit. So just beware. I don't listen to my podcast with my kids. Maybe when they're older. And then Mission Debrief is the Mission by Mission one that I talked about. And so that's the one that I host. I try to keep it as clean as possible. But you know, sometimes you just, some emotions need to come out. Right. Anyway, it's been fun to kind of have that offering of different podcasts. It's all underneath the same feed. So Podcast Evolved has the one feed with all these shows, and then Mission Debrief has a separate feed. So if you just wanted to do the walkthrough show, you could just subscribe to that on your whatever you listen to podcasts on.
What is the name of your website where you can find all of your podcasts?
Halo Podcast Evolved.
There you go.
And we also did grab the domain halopodcast.com.
Wow, excuse
Somehow.
Me. Wow.
So we optimized. We have a webmaster, Ian, and he keeps us up to date. Check out our website. It's fantastic. There's lots of lore, lots of cool
really
stuff
is
on
fantastic.
There. Yeah, Ian does some really cool things on there.
Might have to ask him about an idea that I've been having and haven't executed on yet.
Okay. I have a similar idea I need to bounce off you.
Okay.
Let's talk.
We'll talk.
Uh-oh, I'm scared.
You guys are involved as well.
Yes.
Oh, are we? Oh,
yes.
We're involved.
Yes, you
okay.
are.
This is
yes,
news to us.
Yeah. HCS Pro Talk.
Yes, we are HCS Pro Talk. Again, weekly Halo Esports podcast. We talk about everything community. So we also talk about just the major events that are happening as well, but we have an emphasis on the community. So community leagues, community tournaments, so on and so forth. And we engage with the community as well for weekly topics that we have, the interviews that we have, we want to pull community questions into, so on and so forth. Can't really see. I forgot what I even put on the slide, to be completely honest with you.
This will reach over there if you
well,
just want
thank
to.
You, Dust. Take that. So accommodating. So yeah, we're from Minnesota. As we just learned, you're from Minnesota as well.
Yes.
That's crazy.
That's
and we
nuts.
Had no idea, so we're stupid. That's besides the point. Yeah, we're like Will said, we record in person. We sit across from each other at a desk. That way, we're able to look into each other's eyes deeply. And Will's able to look at me with concern and anger and frustration. And I just smile back because that's what you do. It's hilarious.
It's a long enduring friendship.
That's exactly it. No, yes. We are best friends. Yes. And then we also have interviews on the show. So previous ones that we've done, we have Mark Onset Hatcher. He's a professional esports host, commentator and presenter from the EU side. We also interviewed Wes Clutch Price, who is a retired professional Halo player back in the Halo 2, Halo 3 days. And he's also now the lead of the 343 Pro team working on Halo Infinite. And then we also interviewed Paul Shi, who is a fantastic community member. And he is a competitive Halo player in the Halo Draft League, community-run league. It's fantastic. Go ahead and check that out as well. And then also, one of our plans for the end of the year is, like we said, to do a live-streamed video version of the show. And that way we can have even more community engagement because they're able to see our faces while we record.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, our episodes release every Tuesday. Like Josh said, we run through everything from... we have a segment called Roster Mania, right? Halo teams never seem to stay together.
Never.
There's breakups. There's people moving. So we run through the new rosters we find through the week. We talk about Halo news. We cover the community spotlight and the updates by Unishek and Sketch. We cover any competitive news, any upcoming tournaments. And then we recap the tournaments that happened during the previous week. Then we usually do have that community topic where we really discuss something from anywhere in Halo. Should there be Sprint in... Yeah, Halo Infinite, is there, you know...
Let's do a quick poll in the crowd for the people that are here. And this isn't meant to be divisive. This is literally just asking. For those who are for Sprint in Halo Infinite, raise your hand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And for those against Sprint in Halo Infinite, raise your hand.
It's about half and half.
Well, right. Half and half.
See, we have stuff to discuss.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for answering that question.
Well, just to kind of bring it up, you guys put out a poll.
We did.
I guess this was about a year ago.
Yeah, this was less? When this was in Infinite was I think just unveiled
at E3.
Yeah, because it was the hot button topic and everyone.
It was like a 30-30-30 split,
yes.
Just about of
yes,
Sprint, no Sprint, don't care.
Exactly. Yeah. So the fact of the matter is, and again, it's a very small sample size, right? But the fact of the matter is, people have opinions, and people either love it or don't love it, and we. If you haven't listened to the episode, we have agreed that we're fine with it being an Infinite as long as the game is designed around that fact, right? Because it's all about how the maps are designed for the gameplay elements that are included. If it doesn't work well, people are going to complain, people are going to know about it, and it's just not going to gel. But, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
It just depends on the situation.
It does.
It does.
That's a good point.
Yes.
Should I hit the next button?
All right, so that's all we have to talk about for our stuff. We'll open up to questions if anyone has questions about anything that we talk about or questions about how to get into podcasting, anything that we've learned from podcasting. We do have a microphone up there, so if you have questions, feel free to come on up.
Don't be shy.
Yeah, don't be shy.
We've got any like topics, a hot button.
15
top.
Minutes,
let's go. Let's go.
Is that mic on?
Yeah, we've
sorry, my leg fell asleep.
No.
So...
Because, like, so you guys have been doing this for a while. Somebody for, like, myself, I really want to do this. I've been talking to my best friend right over there. And we really want to do, like, we're huge gamer nerds. So yeah. We want to do something like what you guys are doing. So,
yeah.
Like, a two-part question, I guess. What is, like, a milestone that you guys had for each of you guys for your own individual shows that you were like, wow, this is actually working. People are listening. We got, like, this many downloads or whatever that milestone was to keep you going. And I guess the other part was, what was, like, the lowest point where, like, I don't know, man, should we even bother to keep on doing it? And what kept you, like, going, regardless of, you know, we only got 3 downloads and it's been 6 months or something like that?
May I take the first shot here?
Yeah.
Okay. So in regard to the first milestone, I'm just going to tell you straight up. This isn't meant to sound rude or anything. Don't do it if you're looking to get numbers out of it. Do it because you want to do it. Do it because you have your best friend sitting over there and you're able to talk about video games with your best friend, because that is exactly what I look forward to. It's one of the biggest things every single week that I look forward to is to sit across from my best friend and talk about Halo for a couple hours every week. It's what gets me through the work week. It just brings me happiness, right? But if we're looking at numbers, I would say the first thing that I knew that we were doing something good was the first review that we got on iTunes. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah. And we look for criticism as well. So if people have negative reviews, we want to see those as well. But the first review we got, it was a good review. But it just, I texted Will like immediately after that. And I'm like, dude, we're doing something. People are engaging. Mm-hmm. This is awesome. They like it. And let's just keep going bigger and better, right? The down point. Well, like you said, we've never heard this before.
It'll
come.
Yeah.
It'll come. We do it because we're passionate about Halo, right?
You guys are still in that honeymoon phase of new podcasts.
Yeah, we're
fame.
A year and a half in now, so we'll see.
I would say, I guess this isn't really a low point, but what could be considered one is remaining stagnant. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you see numbers start to average out, right? And you look at that and you're like, oh, well, are we doing something wrong here? Like, what could possibly be happening that we don't have more people listening? We don't have more people engaged, right? But I guess what realistically you could do is just take a look at how you have your show run laid out. Maybe you add something else. Maybe you detract something. Maybe you engage with your community that is currently there. Look for what they like, what they dislike, so on and so forth. And the biggest thing that we do that separates us from the rest is that we have that community engagement. We have a Discord that we look at and we reply to every single day. Our Twitter's another huge point for us for communication between our community members. It's having those open lines of communication for you that can get you out of those ruts. Because those are the people that are actively listening to you, can probably help you out gain more listeners as well.
I would say give it a year and see how it goes. So this is actually my third podcast that I've been on. I started out, I was a big sports gamer before this. And so 5 years ago, whatever it was, I started a podcast with a buddy and we just talked about sports games and we ended up just not finding an audience, and that's fine, right? And then plus we both like started having kids and those passions changed. But we saw a full year, maybe a little bit more, and then we just decided, well, you know, just we have other things to do or other interests. And then I did another podcast, Geek Squatch is still out there, but it was more like 80s and 90s nerd culture stuff. And we would like dive into a Ghostbusters movie, and we would watch the movie and then do all this research about it and like try to, you know, fill an hour or two with like all this cool stuff about it. And that just took so much time, like so much time. And it was like a weekly show. And with just me, it just didn't fit into my schedule. So I kind of bounced off that. And then, you know, I had been hooked up with Podcast Evolved just because I was an early listener and I was trying to help them grow early on. And then finally I was like, hey guys, I have this idea for this mission, you know, this mission debrief. And so I've got plugged in with that. And then to your point, like we've seen, and Ian, our webmaster, is great. He shows us the metrics over time. And so like we keep having more and more listeners. And then as soon as you get the reviews, like those are encouraging. And then, you know, there's little milestones that you'll get that like, oh, this is fun for one, but people are also listening. And I do a community poll every episode, and like participation in that has grown and grown and grown. And like at the start, it was like 2 or 3 people would chime in, whereas now it's like we're reading off 15, 16, you know, 20 responses.
Right.
So stuff like that helps you go.
Yeah. I'm going to kind of echo some of those sentiments already. Do it because you're passionate about talking about it, not for the numbers, not for the fame, not for the glory type of thing. It'll go really far in the long run if you take that mentality of it, that you wanted to do it because you want to do it. And then you'll have other people that will come along because they're interested in the same thing that you are. It kind of helps start building that thing. And then that becomes a positive feedback loop if you're still maintaining that posture of, I want to do this because I love doing it, and then I want to share it with people because I want to be able to interact with other people who share my same ideas or same interests. So keeping that in mind is definitely, I think, pinnacle and paramount to starting any effort, not just podcasting, but anything really. As far as kind of like knowing that we hit something, I adopted Podtacular. I didn't start it out, and Podtacular was started kind of in the time where podcasts were just starting to get their start. So Podtacular actually had a really good springboard to kick off with, and I kind of inherited that. And we've seen our own sets of declines. So when Halo 4 came around, we lost a fair amount of listenership just because some of the differing of opinions on what Halo 4 brought. I'll take that back. Reach was kind of our first dip, and then Halo 4 was a huge dip. So when I picked up the podcast, and before Reach came out, we were getting about 75,000 downloads per show. Wow. When after the Halo 4 slump, we slumped down to about 1,000. I haven't really looked at our stats too much lately. It's kind of one of those things like, I'm not doing it for the stats, so I don't look at it. I probably should honestly look at them more. But the last time I looked, we were getting about 2,000 to 3,000 downloads per show, and that's kind of our average that we've had since then. But I think that just kind of goes to say, just keep with it if you're passionate about talking about it. If you're still have that fire to talk about it, even if you have the ebbs and flows, then there will be people there to listen. If people care about what you're talking about, then yeah, you might have your surge of popularity for a little bit, and then people go away or get distracted by something else or some new big shiny thing. But you'll have your core community there, and that's the group of people that you want to be interacting with and have that positive feedback with, because they're going to be the ones that will encourage you to keep going, and that's that positive energy to keep that fire alive.
Well, thank you, guys. One last thing. What would it take to get you guys on our show anytime in the future?
Reach out to us on Twitter.
Yeah. That's it.
You got it.
Just reach out.
Thank you, guys.
No problem. Thank you.
I can give you a card after the panel if you want.
Anybody else have any questions? Don't be shy.
Go ahead.
Oh, what do we got?
Hi, guys. My name's Eric. I'm a dad. I got 4 kids.
Hi,
we
Eric.
Play together. But we started.
Shout out to Eric.
Our context of matchmaking started with Halo 4. So we don't know anything other than the sprints. If you guys could add some context to the pros and cons of each way and where some of the camps are passionately feel about that issue. Thank
Sprinting.
You.
Sprinting.
Yeah.
Will?
So you guys are can, yeah, you guys are probably
Yeah,
more
so Will coming from the sprint side.
So with sprint, it's been, you know, it makes it feel like a more fast-paced game.
Yes.
It adds a little bit more mobility to what you're doing. And you know, that came later in Halo, you know, 4 or 5. I believe in Reach as well.
Yeah, Reach was a power up they'd pick up.
With Halo's 1, 2, and 3, it was all about
you're good. You're
yeah,
good.
I'm getting feedback.
It's the other mic. You're fine.
In 1, 2, 3 it was all about that classic movement, no sprint, being able to know when to push, when to move out of areas, and not have that kind of, people see it as the sprint as a crutch to get back into cover or to move to a different area. So it's really your preference. And as you look at the Halo games, they've all changed differently throughout the years.
Every single one of them is a different game.
It feels like.
Yes, they are completely different systems. One is completely different from 2, different from 3, 4, 5. They're all different. So when people say that they want classic Halo, it's like, what really classic Halo do you want? Like, what are you looking for here? And then, in regards to the sprint v no sprint thing, right?
I want third-person shooter on Mac.
All right, let's not get ahead of ourselves here, Dust. Let's calm down. No, it is about the methodical approach, right? Halo 3 is a much slower-paced game than Halo's 4 and 5, okay? Now, with Halo 5, in particular, they learned a little bit of their lessons from 4, where now if you sprint in Halo 5, you don't get your shields back, which means yes, it is kind of a crutch. Like, you are still able to run around a piece of cover, but the other person's able to sprint just as you are, and the other person may have full shields, and they're able to chase you down if they can, if they have the advantage. So, but with Halo 3 and previous Halos, you had to be more methodical in your approach. Snipers were a little bit more difficult to use, and you had to work with your teammates more to coordinate around the map a little bit, like, better, I guess you could say. And I feel like in the competitive side, it definitely feels as though things slowed down a lot more in the older Halo titles than it does in the newer ones, which isn't a bad thing. It's not a detriment. It's just the way the game plays. Another thing is it's how the maps are designed, right? So with Halos 4 and 5, and Reach as well, because Reach had Sprint, it's like 343. Game development's a hard thing to do. Like, it's not easy to just go in and make a map and be like, oh yeah, this is done, let's ship it. It's very difficult. There's a lot of playtesting involved. And with Halo's Reach 4 and 5, because Sprint was something that was added, and 4 and 5 it was default, it was something where the maps had to work with the ebb and flow of how a Sprint battle would work out. And then with 5, with Clamber, with Thrust, with Ground Pound, and then in competitive, a couple of those things were taken away. They, again, maps had to be taken into consideration for the ebb and flow of the gameplay loop. So in older Halos, the same thing is done with the maps. They play completely differently. And it really is all about personal preference at this point in time.
Well, if I can add to that too, there's also a movement within the gaming industry as a whole that you want that really quick Twitch action stuff. And not everyone likes that. And no. I think that's been kind of a migration of games generically. So it's not just Halo. And you always have people that want the classic style of anything back because that's what they grew up with. That's right. What they're comfortable with. And most people are resistant to change of any kind. But I think there's just that sense of a lot of people today, or a lot of gamers today, kind of are expecting that very quick Twitch action type of gameplay. And Halo can accommodate to having Sprint in it. From a lore perspective, it makes sense. From a multiplayer perspective, as long as you have elements within the game, like they were saying, that can compensate and that are designed with that mechanic in mind, Sprint really shouldn't be, in my opinion, as much of a debate as it is.
People, like, that's the thing, is that people love to have their debates in regards to it. And it pops up. We thought we laid it to bed a long time ago, but it keeps popping up. But
it's going to be one of those things that keeps coming up.
Right. All I'm going to say is this. Infinite releases in 2020, okay? Play the game as it is. Formulate your opinion after the fact. Don't go into it with preconceived notions that, oh, if it has Sprint, it's going to suck. Like, don't do that. Go into it with an open mind. If it has it, awesome. And play it. If it is awesome, cool. If it's not, let everybody know your feedback. Keep it constructive criticism. Don't be mean about it, but let people know. And if it doesn't have Sprint, play it. If you enjoy it, awesome. If you don't, leave the constructive criticism. But have an open mind going into it, because the fact of the matter is, not everyone is going to be happy at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. But like I did say, game development is a hard, hard thing to do. People spend countless hours, thousands of hours, working tirelessly to make this thing that we hope that they hope that you enjoy. So keep that into consideration. Sorry to go on a little tangent there. And also, love the assault rifle. Good stuff. No problem. Thanks, Eric.
We can take one really quick question and then we have to call time.
Don't be shy. What do you got?
One quick question.
What do you got?
So for all of you, I was just wondering how you felt about Halo 5 within the competitive scene and also about the lore as well. Do you feel like the lore fits into the overall story of Halo? And do you feel like the competitive side where the multiplayer, do you feel like because of how it was built that it also affects kind of like the overall lore?
You guys got the lore stuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, so I look at it as when I played Halo 5, because I have all the lore background, I was fine with it, right? It's because I kind of knew all of the stuff that they were referencing. And, I didn't see the stuff they were doing with Cortana. But this is the story that 343 wants to tell. So I have to kind of embrace that, right? They have this in mind. And, Frank and Kiki and the whole team, They're leading us where they want Master Chief to go and where they want to take the universe. So I tend to take it at that. And sure, you know, I was like, well, they could have done this differently, this and that, but that's not what they did. And so I try to just embrace what we have and try to piece all everything together. It's, you know, we talk about transmedia and like all the comics and the books and all that sort of stuff. They're doing a really good job of trying to fit all of that into the universe and just really enrich our full experience. So for me, I'm here for the ride, you know, and I see like a cutscene here. I was like, well, maybe like, is that out of place? But, you know, I'm also realistic about production and the cost and the time and all that sort of stuff. So I always kind of give them the benefit of the doubt and just, I'm here to enjoy the story that they're telling.
I would say from a lore perspective, there are some of those cringy moments of like, ooh, this could have been treated a little bit better or presented in a different way. It's definitely a different narrative style than Bungie has. Mm-hmm. And I think to your point, that's one of those things where 343 is now the harbingers of the Halo franchise. So we have to respect that this is their franchise. This is their story that they're telling, and we're the consumers of that story. So there is some feedback within the lore community that they say, hey, this didn't really feel right. This is something to maybe consider addressing in a book or addressing down the line somewhere, so there's a little more resolution to it.
It seems like 343 is listening to the criticism, and they're taking that into consideration, and maybe they're modifying, you know, where they're going with Infinite from that.
Yeah, like one of the big things that a lot of people didn't like from Reach was how easy Cat died. Mm-hmm. With the rifles.
So there's
a lot. There's a lot of discussion about that, and then in Halo 5, how easy Jewel died.
Yeah. Right.
So there's those kind of feedbacks where it's like, okay, I mean, you're the owner of the story, but this could have been done in a lot more meaningful, impactful way. And I think that's where we have the power as the community to say, all right, it's your thing, but maybe treat this with a little more respect or different kind of cadence.
I like what they're doing with like introducing the new characters, like Sarah Palmer, you know, like they're introducing a new character. And, you know, she gets a little bit more of a bad rap than I like Sarah Palmer. But then, and like Jameson Locke, he's controversial too, right? So, like, it's like they're trying to present you with new heroes that you might like, but people have mixed feelings on that. You know, everybody loves Chief. Everybody loves Cortana. But the new people that they're trying to fold into the story, for some reason, it just hasn't resonated as well as just, you know, everybody that was in Halo CE, right?
Yeah.
I'll quickly hit on the competitive sense. So I'm not going to lie, it was very rocky. Very, very rocky. And it took a very long time in order for the competitive community to get what they were looking for. Okay, so now they have, yes, they had a pro team for 5 internally, but I think they're going to be listening to the pro team more for Infinite. So with Halo 5, when it released competitive, Radar was full blown. Okay, so previously in competitive Halo titles, for those who don't know, Radar was non-existent. You didn't use it. It was more about tactical plays. It was more about knowing the positioning of your enemies and your teammates. There weren't hit markers, anything like that, okay? So with Halo 5 specifically, the introduction of Sprint, the introduction of Clamber, the introduction of Ground Pound, the introduction of Thrust, everything was in there when competitive came to the scene, okay? The competitive community weren't really listened to for the majority of the time. It wasn't until, and they also, like, this isn't to throw shade at 343 or anything, but they also kind of tried to shoehorn in Oddball at a time, and it just didn't work. It didn't work on the default maps that they had. So they listened, finally. They brought things back. They reeled it in, and they're like, okay, what are people saying? What can we do? What do people like? What do people don't like? Oh, people don't like Radar. Okay, we got to compensate here. So to compensate, instead of making it so Radar's on all the time, let's make it so Radar's only on when you use your Spartan abilities. So you sprint, you clamber, you thrust, okay? And then when you're walking, you don't appear on Radar at all. As simple as that, okay? So it slows things down a little bit, but if people do want to be fast, then they have that detriment to them, okay? Then, oh, everybody hates Ground Pound in competitive. Okay, we hear you. We're going to take that out. So they took Ground Pound down, and they listened to the community that way. Then they listened to the Forge community, which was fantastic, because the maps became pretty stagnant as well. So they listened to the Forge community. They brought in a couple maps, well, 3 actually. A remake of Sanctuary from Halo 2, aka Refuge. They brought in Echelon, and they brought in, what was the other one? Do you remember what the other one was?
Fisher.
Thank you. Yes. So they brought in three community-made maps. 343 helped work on them to polish them up a little bit, right? And then put them into competitive space, and they actually worked out pretty well. And then Oddball came back as Refined, so that worked well as well. And here we are. So go ahead.
So you get those lore aspects that make it in its way into competitive, and they didn't work for a competitive sense. You need a game to be fair, to be even throughout, and it's they did end up listening and making those changes, but
it was a little too late, to be honest.
Yep, it's kind of it's unfortunate that the competitive side does lose a little bit of the lore just to make the game work for competitive. But
right, and the last thing I'll say about it is, regardless of the armor abilities and Spartan abilities and so on and so forth, the thing that I enjoyed the most about the competitive Halo 5 seasons that we had was the amount of up and coming talent that we had. So yes, there were a lot of veteran players there too, and that's fantastic. I've been loving competitive Halo since 1 and 2, so I love seeing these old faces return, right? Enable in the Call of Duty World League is one of the best Call of Duty players in the world. He was playing competitive Halo 3 back in the day. So seeing all of these up-and-coming players being able to utilize these different mechanics in so many crazy, unbelievable ways is just, it makes me so excited for the future in Halo Infinite if it has those Spartan abilities, because then we just get to see more up-and-coming talent. We get to see these players take those skills to the next level, and it's just going to make more competition around the entire scene, which is going to be awesome. So,
thank you for the question.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for us. Thanks for coming out to Chicago. Hopefully you enjoy the rest of your hours here. We'll be hanging around the back in a minute after we take a quick picture, but thanks for coming out.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.